Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming into the hills, overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, this ordinarily is Wednesday evening when we do Open Line Wednesday, and I always look forward to that, but because of the things that are happening in the financial markets, and because we had Bob Chapman scheduled last Friday, we didn't get him. I asked him if he'd be with us this evening, because I think it's important that you hear what he has to say. Bob's been at this even longer than I have, and I always value his thoughts. I think we are at one of the most significant times in our nation's history from a financial point of view. And, of course, we've been talking about it for a long period of time, and we hope that most of our listeners have positioned themselves so that they're not going to get too badly hurt, as the entire economic structure of our nation begins to unravel. Well, first of all, I want to caution you, I am not a financial advisor, but I am an amateur historian. And I believe that we have a privately owned central bank that works in concert with the privately owned central banks throughout the world that want to run the world and create a feudalistic system. At least that's what Carol Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, said in page 324 of his book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. And I believe, of course, that they suddenly have gotten themselves into a terrible situation. I think that they intend to destroy the value of our currency and impoverish our people and take us into a world government. And that is the background. Bob Chapman, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, you're welcome. It's always very, very nice being on your program.
Well, let's talk a little bit.
Very much.
Let's talk a little bit about the losses. You know, when we're talking about the losses that are going to be out there because of these collateralized debt obligations, are we talking about a few billion dollars? Are we talking about several trillion dollars that is going to be lost, by the machinations of the people who actually encouraged people to buy homes that they couldn't afford and then took those mortgages and rolled them into debt obligations and sold them as AAA bonds?
Well, we've seen the aftermath for the past 3 weeks of those institutions, and most of them are institutions, that were holding collateralized debt obligations, which are bonds which are made up 80% of AAA, AA, and single-A paper mortgages, as well as 20% in subprime and ALTA mortgages. And the packages or these mortgages were assisted in the procedure of packaging and getting a AAA rating on these masterpieces. And, of course, what happened was that the mortgages in the 20% started to go bad, and they had them leverage. In other words, they borrowed money to buy more than, as it turned out, than they should have. And so we have banks and hedge funds and others all over the world going out of business because their portfolios have dropped 50 or 60 or 70% or something like that.
And some of these hedge funds have just lost literally billions and billions of dollars. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman as we evaluate what's really going on in the world. And I hope you've taken Bob's advice and simply got the hatches battened down for the coming financial storm. Well, Bob, how much do you think is going to be lost before this thing is over? Do we have any idea?
Well, because of the packaging and leverage, And then the creation of credit swaps, which are insurance to insure people against the failure of these CDOs, as they're called. I see a combination of the homeowner, the packager of the loans, the investment banks, who also repackage them, and the bankers. I see a bottom line minimum of $750 billion.
Okay.
And it could go as high as $1.3 trillion or higher, because we don't know what they've done. There's no way to tell how much paper's out there and who owns it.
Well, now, what about, of course, the derivative markets? They called in the payment from the derivative market. The derivative market really guarantees that nobody's ever going to lose any money if it looks like it. Why the people who write the derivatives, people like J.P. Morgan Chase and Bank of America, they're the two biggest ones in this country. And, are they having to pay off at all on their promise to back up these loans?
Well, the derivative crunch hasn't come yet. It will. And what J.P. Morgan Chase and Citigroup, who I think hold about 88% of those derivatives, which they created, they haven't got hit yet. When they do, I think the government will step in. They wrote naked options is what they did. There's no collateralization backing them. And if there is, it's minuscule compared to the value. And so they're really hung out on the edge of a branch someplace. And this is beyond the losses that I'm talking about of $1.3 trillion. And that's based upon a failure rate of somewhere between 25 and 50% of all those subprime and ALTA loans, plus a lot of other loans that are going to go under that are quality loans, because people with good jobs that pay over $100,000 a year, those people have a problem, and that is that a lot of them are losing jobs to free trade and globalization, offshoring.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob is simply pointing out that he thinks there may be up to be somewhere between those six-tenths of a trillion, $1.3 trillion sitting in these bad loans that we're going to get into trouble with, but there may be a lot more as the derivatives start falling apart, and then even a lot of people who certainly were in a position to borrow money are going to be losing their homes. Certainly we see the automotive industry simply just shutting down. We see the building industry shutting down. We see the banks having real problems, and many of the mortgage brokers and the lending. And, of course, one of the things that Bob had pointed out in his latest newsletter is that, the real estate and certainly in building, made up over 25% of our gross domestic product, and in many instances could be even up to half of the gross domestic product. Is that really true?
Absolutely. And, the central banks collectively in the last 3 weeks have injected money and credit through large banks in their countries of over $700 billion. And you, as a bank, can lend out 8 times that amount. So if you multiply 8 times 7, you get $5.6 trillion if they were to do that. I figure it to stem the tide for the moment, but not solve the problem. But to stem the tide will cost about $1.3 trillion. And these figures are far beyond anything you're going to see anywhere. And more often than not, unfortunately, I'm right and they're wrong. But, the economists and analysts who work within the common structure of banking and brokerage and large corporations, they can't tell you the truth. Because if they do, they'll lose their job. And just like all these people who work for companies, went to the FBI, told them about all the stealing that was going on in Iraq, I mean billions of dollars, and they get crucified, lose their jobs, lose their families for doing the right thing. And that's just the kind of world we live in. But right now, commercial paper is dead. I mean, none of it is being written. And companies in services as well as manufacturing need that money to bridge them from production to the end of the production run, which is the wholesaling and sales. They use that money on a 30, 60, 90-day basis normally to do those sort of things. And right now, they can't get any money.
And basically commercial paper is simply an IOU, and I want to borrow this money. I'll pay maybe, 8 or 10% for it, but I'll pay you back in, 30 days to 90 days? Is that what commercial paper is? Okay,
exactly.
Go ahead.
But we're looking right now around 6.40, 6.5%. That's up from about 4. So that market at least still is frozen. Then following that is the market for mortgages. Mortgage companies, incidentally 420 of them, 428 of them as of today have gone bankrupt. These are sizable companies.
A couple of weeks ago, it was only 100 of them.
Hmm?
A couple of weeks ago, it was only 100. You mean another 300 have gone bankrupt over the last month or so?
No, another 42. Oh, yeah.
Another 42, okay.
Yeah.
So how many do you estimate are down now?
142, and they don't even count the little ones.
All right, fine.
You know, the mom-and-pop stores. I said at the beginning of the year we'll have 200 go down, maybe more. And unfortunately, I'm going to be correct.
Now, these are mortgage companies, basically?
Yeah. They're regulated by state law.
Okay.
And that's about it.
They're having trouble, but of course, I understand that certainly Lehman Brothers was having trouble with some of their subsidiaries. Certainly, Bear Stearns is having trouble, and some of the other big banks are really having a lot of trouble too, aren't they? Didn't they have certainly a part of their business was taking and loaning money, on these CDOs?
Yes, and we can't tell how much money's at risk, but the banks won't say. Nobody wants to talk. It's sort of a conspiracy of silence. And, you know, a lot of these companies have also hidden these instruments under subheadings or off balance sheet and so on. And so the exposure of the problems will go on for 3 years or more. And it'll be substantially more than the SNL fiasco. One of the biggies in the bond business last week said, well, the federal government should step in and make sure that these people are able to keep their homes. Well, he obviously is long CDOs. If he's not, still, it's a dumb thing to say, because why should the taxpayers who have done everything properly be made to pay for their losses? Who should pay for those losses? Because these people should have never had loans in the first place, and any banker knows that. And what should happen is the mortgage originators, the packages, which are large banks, such as you mentioned, the investment bank, Bear Stearns, they should be made to pay these people to help them, if anybody's going to help them, continue their loans. They're not going to do that. And so we're going to have 2 to 3 million people lose their houses.
Well, that's been tremendous suffering and very, very hard on the individuals. Now, this really is affecting the economy over in Europe, isn't it? Didn't a lot of European banks buy these bonds?
They sure did. The European Central Bank injected money and credit of over $300 billion into the European, the Eurozone. And I don't think it's enough. And some of these companies are starting to go under, like Sachsen in Germany, which is in Sachsen. It's Kreis, Sachsen. And they went under as a savings loan. You know, one of the horrible things about all this is that it showed us in finality that they were desperate to keep the American economy from going down at this time. They tried everything they did they could do to keep it afloat because they weren't ready to go for world government. Now they're less ready. But they had started the ball rolling. They can't stop it. And so in order to make this work, the Fed, the banks, the investment banks, and the mortgage people, they all knew that this thing was going to collapse. They all knew that the paper was not AAA, it was BBB, which is junk. And the horrible thing is that the bankers have laid a trip on the other bankers. And I think that confidence has been totally lost. I mean, the banker in Germany or Singapore is saying, hey, you guys, I can't believe you did this to us. You know, we're out $80 billion or something. I mean, we're bankers. We've worked with you for all our lives or centuries or whatever, and you've gone and done this to us. And a lot of us are going to go bankrupt and take these losses just so you can get out of the losses. And it's terrible. I mean, it really proves once and for all that there's absolutely no honor among thieves.
Well, of course, your estimate is we're having about 11% inflation rate at the present time. And you comment, of course, based upon the M3, which the government doesn't want us to know what it is because they've quit printing, but you claim it's about 13.3% now. That's the M3, so that'll be reflected in inflation next year. Do you really think we could be up to 15% inflation next year?
Absolutely. And, you know, the increase this past year in wages is 0.7%. And the previous 4 years, 5 years, it was zero. And we've had inflation of over 10% for the last 4 years. And that's not official. It's my figures. And so the American public's really got whacked. And they have been borrowing against their homes, taking on bigger mortgages, and some of them cashing out, some of them getting equity loans. And even with all of that, their savings is minus 1.5%. The American public doesn't have any money, and they're probably 3 or 4 paychecks away from bankruptcy.
Well, I understand, of course, a lot of them are living on their credit cards, and now at least some of the companies have actually increased their interest rate on their credit cards to ridiculous levels.
Even the good customers. And that's because of their losses in the derivative in the CDO and ABS market. ABS is asset-based securities, and they're usually loans on vehicles, motorcycles, motorhomes, swimming pools. You name it; it's all in the packaging.
What do they get? What interest rate do they get?
They run around 8%.
What are the credit cards getting now? I understand.
I don't know. They vary pretty widely, but I think most people are paying over 15%.
15% on your credit card interest. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've got a credit card, get rid of it, cut it up in little pieces, pay it off, because, I mean, 15% will kill you, and some of them are even much higher than that. We're going to be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman as we analyze what's happening, and of course, hopefully you're going to be prepared to survive. Well, Bob, one of the things that it really, of course, I'm intrigued by is the relationship to the yen to the price of gold, and you make it.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
As it goes up in relationship, it becomes more valuable in relationship to the dollar. I might fall to, what, about 110, something like that, at least theoretically. Why, then the people involved in the carry trade have to close their position out, and they're going to start selling things to, so they can pay those yen back, because they don't want to be in a position where they're going to lose money. Go right ahead.
So getting to the influence of the yen carry trade, when the yen goes up in value, it causes losses for the borrower. So he jumps out. But in the course of doing so, he's got to sell the securities or things that he bought. It might be stocks in the New York Stock Exchange and the American and over-the-counter, or they may be bonds. They may be gold and silver. They may be commodities. And so when these guys jump out, they simultaneously sell what they've got. And you saw the example of that 2 days ago when the market went down 278 points. They were fleeing in terror because the yen had traded at 112, ended the day at 114, which is lower. There's an inverse ratio there. And that caused a run on the market, and gold got hit as well. And so you've got speculators in these markets who are in the yen carry trade. And when they sell, it's brutal. When they're buying, it's great. If you're on that side of the market, which is a long side of the market. So that's how that trade works. And usually they will pursue a reasonably conservative approach. They, the borrowers. But it varies. You know, some of these hedge funds are leveraged 10, 15, 20 to 1, even more, which I think is insanity. And, in fact, I just talked to somebody about that who was in the business. And he says, I don't know how they continue to do it because it's so dangerous. Alan Greenspan warned them.
Well, of course, you mentioned that a lot of the Japanese are actually in the market over there, and they're shorting the yen. In other words, they're gambling that the yen will stay fairly low. And by fairly low, it means it goes up rather than it goes down, but it's this inverse relationship. So they're gambling that it's not going to increase in values. Is that right?
That's right.
Now, why are the Japanese doing that rather than buying stocks or property or something?
Well, first of all, the Japanese went into a depression in 1992. The stock market went from 42,000 to 7,500, round figures. The property market, this is land, dropped 85%, and homes dropped 75 to 90%, depending upon which city that you were in. And so, in order to try to break this ongoing deflationary trend, they dropped interest rates for that reason. And another one, the other one was to accommodate the U.S. Federal Reserve in this yen carry trade, making it cheap for people to gamble in the market so that those people who are borrowing would go in the stock market and drive it up.
And that was basically just an effort on the part of our Fed to put pressure on the Japanese central bank to make money readily available to the world or to investors throughout the world?
The whole thing's rigged.
All right.
And yes, the Fed is engineering it, and they have been since the Second World War, and they're the ones who really get Japan in trouble in the first place. And we should have had a worldwide serious recession in 92, and we didn't. And it was a tragedy that we didn't, because all of this would have been behind us and the system would have been purged. But they didn't allow that to happen. And now we're paying. I mean, 15 years may seem like a long time, but it's not really a long time.
How is the average Japanese doing? Are they doing fairly well, or are they doing very, very poorly since that dropout in the market, 15 years ago?
Well, the Nikkei Dow was around 16,000. So it dropped about 2,000, which is not a biggie, a nominal correction. And our market dropped 8.5% and then went back up and went back down and went back up. And, you know, I don't know where they're at right now, but it's not as good as it was. And, you know, admittedly now, the Federal Reserve and the working group in financial markets are telling the world
we'll be right back.
They are manipulating the markets.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob is simply saying that the Federal Reserve System is manipulating the markets. Of course, you can see this as they lower the interest rate here, as they as they lend phenomenal amounts of money, tens of billions of dollars that make it available to banks and other institutions to try to keep the economy afloat. And of course, the biggest thing, of course, the Fed is doing, I really believe, is simply, trying to make people feel that everything's going to be all right, trying to do away with this perception that we're on the edge of a financial collapse. But we really are, aren't we, Bob?
We surely are, and America will get hit the hardest, and because of they're the biggest market in the world, everybody else will be deeply affected, and particularly the Chinese, and they're going to be using a lot of that money that they've gotten dollars to keep their economy going so they don't have a revolution. And that's going to be very bad for China. Plus, China has the same debt problem that Japan had in 1992, like, 1.3 or 1.2 trillion, that they're offside. And, I don't know where they're going to go and what they're going to do. So, and they really are not that good at doing Western economics. Of course, they've studied it. But there's one thing in studying something and another thing in using it. And I think that the Japanese government is going to have terrible problems. And I noticed that Goldman Sachs said this week, and they are, of course, part of the United States government, and they said this week that there will be 3 rate cuts between now and the end of the year. Well, that's to save the economy and to bail out these people who are buried in paper and can't get loans. But the flip side of that is they do that, the dollar gets destroyed. If the dollar just gets destroyed, the U.S. economy is doomed anyway.
And because as the dollar gets destroyed by the people who have everything tied to the American dollar, they may have, $1 million in stocks and bonds, but it won't buy much of anything, not if you continue an inflation rate of 10 to 15% a year. And the average American, unfortunately believes what the government is telling him. The government says why the inflation rate's only 2.2%. You've got nothing to worry about. Just trust us. Well, maybe, if we get away from the core inflation to the real inflation, well, it's 4.2%, but just trust us. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're just talking about the inflation rate. Incidentally, Bob and I do talk during the breaks, and so if you'd like to get a tape of this program, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And Bob was just saying that Goldman Sachs, which is really, of course, part of the ruling elite that controls America, the Secretary of the Treasury, left a $40 million a year job with Goldman Sachs to become the Secretary of the Treasury. And, of course, earlier, where we'd had Robert Rubin leaving a similar job, to become Secretary of the Treasury. And so really, Goldman Sachs provides the Secretaries of the Treasury who run the economy of this country, and apparently Goldman Sachs has announced that there'll be, 3 more rate cuts before the end of the year?
Correct. And, of course, if that happens, it's not going to save the economy.
But won't that actually, of course, destroy the dollar? If you keep cutting rates, you destroy the dollar. If you raise the rates, you strengthen the dollar. If you cut the rates, then we're talking about discount rates, you destroy the dollar.
Well, that's true. And, if the dollar goes, the whole thing is down the tubes. And, I think it would be more prudent for them, if they don't want to destroy the economy, to leave interest rates what they are and hope for the best and try to continue to do what they're doing by increasing money and credit by over 13%. Goldman may be lying in just to keep the market up. They've also said that the market will do very well and the markets come back because the perception is that the the Fed will cut rates. And they've got everybody believing that. And it may be true, it may not. But I certainly would want to take a gamble on it. I like to be in a more conservative place. And so saving the economy does not mean anything. What means something to the American people and the U.S. economy is saving the dollar. And if they can't, and the dollar goes to 45 or 50 from just up over 80 where it is now, we're doomed. Absolutely financially doomed. We're going to have to declare bankruptcy and renege on all of our debt. It's going to be a terrible, frightening thing for not only Americans, but the depression that will spread throughout the world. And foreign governments have 64.7% of all of their assets in dollars or Federal Reserve paper or whatever. And that's a tremendous amount.
Well, now, of course, why hasn't gold and silver gone up? Certainly, they actually have driven it back down over this last year. So, and right now, faced with all the monetary uncertainty, why the price of gold and silver has actually dropped a little bit.
Well, the responsibility for all of this lies with the Fed. And, you know, they evidently, if Goldman is right, have decided we're going to let the economy go. And, of course, if the economy goes, they'll make like you're kind of trying to save it, and it can't. I mean, they're boxed in. They just can't get out. And they'll blame it on the economy, not themselves.
But aren't they intentionally destroying the economy? They're intentionally shipping our industries overseas. They're intentionally shipping our jobs overseas. They know exactly what they're doing. And, of course, they can't say, well, this just happened. We have a global economy. America, you know, at one time was strong enough we could exist by ourselves without any external trade. We could produce everything here. Now we can't produce much of anything. So many of our major jobs have been shipped overseas in our factories. And now, of course, foreigners control a vast amount of American money. And as you point out in your latest newsletter, many of these foreign companies are setting up these sovereign wealth firms, and they're coming over here and they're buying up American corporations. They're buying up the infrastructure of our nation. And very, very soon, why, other countries are going to control the vast majority of the wealth in America.
And that is very true. And the only way that can be stopped is by them refusing to reaccept dollars that are overseas and to renege on U.S. financial instruments. I'm talking about the government, in tandem with other nations. And this has happened before. And I would expect that if that happens, that we'll have a worldwide depression. It will be pretty difficult to get out of.
But, of course, other nations have reneged on their international debt. Argentina did. Russia did. But America never has. America has been the foundation of the whole world monetary system. In fact, all currencies were tied to the American dollar directly until 1971, and even indirectly right up until now, when the American dollar is the reserve currency of the world. But if we were to renege on our debt, why, it would plunge the whole world and even our own nation into chaos, wouldn't it? Bob?
Yes, can you hear me?
No,
can you hear me?
I was just saying that if we were to renege on our debt, if we were to refuse to allow the foreigners to come in here and buy up our infrastructure because they're holding so many trillions of dollars in American dollars, wouldn't that certainly just throw the whole world financial system into chaos?
Yeah, it would, and all governments would go down. And that's why we come to the conclusion, what do? You buy gold and silver, related assets. And during an inflationary time, which we're in, we're going into hyperinflation, they will go up in value, and there's no stopping them. ultimately. And when we get to the top and this thing starts to head into deflation, and that will happen when nobody can really afford to borrow money anymore or is unable to borrow money anymore, whether it's for business speculation or consumer reasons. When that happens, the deflation will begin. And when it does, the only thing you want to own is gold, bullion, coin, and you want to have it in your possession.
All right, fine. Well, now, there's some people who are like the Elliott Wave people. Bob Proctor, I was reading his newsletter, and he claims that a deflation has already started.
Well, it has. It started a few years ago, and he's right about that. The problem is that in the interim, they created enough money in credit, not only from increases from the Federal Reserve, but also the yen and Swiss franc carry trades. And those carry trades alone are worth about $1.5 trillion. And now they've just dumped, the central banks did, an additional $700 billion into the world system, which you can multiply by 8 if they choose to do that, and you get another $5.7 trillion. And so they get about $7 trillion. And that's how they've kept the system going. Bob Proctor was right once or twice. Twice. In the last 30 years. And, you know, I've discussed this with him, and he doesn't like to talk to me because I tell him that investing is an art form. And he, like others, use cycles and waves and charts. And when you have manipulated markets, you can't do that. The last time I saw him was in 1985, and he was talking about waves to me, and I said, you know, we live in Malibu, and my son surfs the waves all the time, and he didn't see any humor in that.
Well,
and he's never spoken to me since.
Well, let's go ahead and get your address out, your website out, in case people would like to get a copy of the International Forecaster. I'm sure you'd appreciate it if they did subscribe to it.
I certainly would, because it's the only way that we get income, and that's why we, in part, do these shows like yours. But the International Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. And we publish by email twice a week on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Runs around 25 pages each time. And with these hot markets that are going on right now, we've been publishing 30 to 40 pages because I want to cover everything that people should know. And it's sort of a sophisticated Reader's Digest of all of the subjects that I just mentioned. And if you'd like to go and look at our site on the Internet, that address is theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, FORECASTER.com. If you'd like to call toll free to get a copy of the forecaster, either by email or hard copy, we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month, you can call 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. And I certainly think the International Forecaster is well worthwhile reading. I'll have to admit I look forward to reading it whenever it comes in, and it's one of the two publications I read from cover to cover every week. So, so many exciting things are happening. What do you think is going to happen to gold and silver? Do you think that they'll be able to hold it down? You've made a point in your last newsletter by saying that the people who've been manipulating the price of gold seem to be selling off a lot of their short positions, and they really seem to be almost a position as if they anticipate that gold is going to go up. What are your thoughts on that?
That's exactly so. The lease rates are high. When lease rates are low, that means that the central banks want people like J.P. Morgan Chase to come by and buy $5 billion worth of gold from them. They actually don't buy it. They lease it. Then they take it and they sell it. and that depresses gold prices. And then Morgan uses the money in other investments, like manipulating the stock market. And the banks that have loaned this gold that's been sold, they carry it on the books as still being there, and of course it's not. It doesn't exist in the hands of Morgan or the central bank that did the leasing. So when Morgan leases, they want to do $1 billion worth of gold, perhaps at 1%, which is $100,000. And that's pretty cheap to control all of that, you know, gold and money. And so that's what's been going on, and the lease rates are high, which means that we shouldn't get any leasing. And the commercials on the COMEX, those are the insiders who know what's going on and they work with the government, so to speak, they have cut their short positions down phenomenally. And especially Goldman Sachs, which is kind of the leader of the pack with Citigroup and J.P. Morgan Chase. And so those fundamental factors, this art form of investment, would lead anybody like myself to believe that they are not short because they believe that gold and silver are going up. They'll hold it down as long as they can. But I think it's ready to fly.
All right, you commented that certainly that every time that the price of gold goes down, that there are massive buying from China and from Asia and from India. So are they accumulating a lot of gold privately over there, or is that going into government coffers?
No, in India, they'll take down about 900 tons this year, which is phenomenal. And, you know, what the Illuminists didn't figure on was the women in India, China, and the Middle East who were going to demand gold so that they would be safer, so to speak, if they lost their spouse. This is what this is all about. And also it's a religious thing as well. And the Middle East is going to, their buying is up 75%. And so the only people that aren't buying gold and silver are Europeans, Canadians, and Americans. They don't get it. They're ignorant.
No, because they believe in the dollar, these paper certificates that we have that have something written on them, are money, or that they have inherent wealth, which they don't. It's totally a fiat money system. Fiat money is simply money that is established by fiat, by government edict. That is actually worthless, and it's losing its value about 10-11% a year right now. And contrary to what you're being told by the government, of course, inflation is rampant, and if Bob is right, and I think he is, it's going to get even much higher by next year. And that's really within a few years at this rate. Why gold will, pardon me, money will have lost half of its value. So when gold takes off, where do you think it's going to go first?
Well, it'll test 850, and it will be broken. It'll go to 1,000. It's a natural number. And it'll have a bit of time going through there. And then in order to reflect inflation, it would have to go to 22 to 2,500. And when it gets to that level, it'll be approximately fully appreciated, and it will catch up with the last 25 years. But markets don't act that way. When it gets there, there'll probably be this great stampede to buy gold, and it may go to $5,000 or $6,000 an ounce, because markets never do normal things, because people are not normal.
All right, and Chris, then what will happen as far as silver is concerned? Do we have any idea?
And well, during an inflationary period, and I assume that move to 22 to 2,500 would be based upon inflation, then silver would probably move up to $100 an ounce. Now, what the silver will do during the blow-off remains to be seen. It could go to $200 or $300. I don't know. I'm just giving you the bare bones parameters that I see. I've gone through every gold market since 1960. There is nobody anywhere in the investment community or even in mining that's been in this game as long as I have.
Well, that's why we always enjoy talking to you. Our guest has been, of course, Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. And we're going to be back in just a moment or two to wrap up this evening's program here at Radio Liberty. But let me simply point out that I value Bob's opinion and his explanations. The machinations of what these people are doing is really incredible, but you have to understand behind them are dark spiritual forces who have an intense hatred for freedom and for America, which was once a great Christian nation. Well, Bob, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us.
Well, I think the important thing for those that can invest, cannot invest, is, and I've been saying on this program for many years, and I've gotten lots of nice emails from people telling me they did it and they're very happy about it, and that is getting out of debt. And so you must get rid of your credit card debt and your revolving debt and vehicle debt if possible, because there's a good chance that in the next year or so that one of you may not be working, and you want to keep your home. And so I think that's the immediate course to pursue, and I think you should be prepared for difficult times. And if you have monies over that you can invest in the future, then you would look to gold and silver assets and put that money to work there. And I know of no other alternative. There are a couple of things that people can do, but that's usually for very wealthy people who don't want to have everything in gold and silver, and they've got millions of dollars. And what's suitable for them is not suitable for someone who's making $40,000 a year. And what I do on these programs is I try to cover everything for everybody, but the most important thing is the education of people who don't have any education in this, and particularly people who are in the lower middle class and the lower class income-wise, so that at least they'll know what to do, even though they can't invest.
All right, fine. Well, I think certainly the major thing will be to just try to keep from losing everything you have in what lies ahead. And if you're out of debt, at least they're not going to be able to take what you have. And believe me, when you're in debt, why, you're controlled by somebody else. Debt is the worst thing in the world, and unfortunately, the American people have forgotten that. We've been encouraged to buy and go out on a limb and use our credit cards and borrow on our homes. Everything has been done to get us into a terribly vulnerable position. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And, people just don't get it in America. And they're going to pay dearly for it.
I'm afraid you're right. Well, our guest has been Bob Chapman. Bob, we'll look forward to having you on later again this month, or if not next month, we'll be talking to you again. Thanks so very much for coming on with us.
Okay, good night.
Good night. God bless.
Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and it's always a pleasure having Bob Chapman on our programs. Hope you enjoy it. And as I said earlier, Bob and I talked during the breaks, and if you'd like to get the tape of the program, they're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to really understand what's going on, we have a little pamphlet we put together based upon 5 of our newsletters. It's called The History of Money. Now, you can go up our website at radioliberty.com and go through all the newsletters there and pick out those that deal with money and put together the pamphlet yourself, or you can get it from us at nicely bound, and I'll tell you what, I keep it right close at hand. A lot of great information there. If you want to know what happened to Greece and Rome, and what happened, when Diocletian was the emperor of Rome, and And, of course, they had inflation then in about 300 A.D. And Diocletian declared wage and price controls. It's just exactly as Richard Nixon put wage and price controls on in August of 1971. They didn't work for Diocletian. He retired and took up growing cauliflowers. Of course, Richard Nixon retired, but of course he was forced to retire anyway. History repeats itself, and then of course we have a great talk, I think, Financial Tsunami, and it's available on DVD or in VHS, and there's a syllabus that goes with that that explains all the terms and all the things that are happening as we get the collapse of our industries, as we get the collapse of our housing market, as we get the collapse of our hedge funds and the derivative markets and an increasing price of oil and inflation and all the things that are coming together to destroy our economy. And the most important thing we have is the solvency of our currency, and it's being destroyed. Now, my last month's newsletter, I should say that would be the July newsletter and the August newsletter, I deal with finances. You'll find them fascinating, and you can go to our website and the July newsletter is not yet posted. It will be in a few days, and if you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, well, we'd be glad to send you one if we haven't sent it to you previously. If you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you are as concerned about as I am about the very real possibility of going to war with Iran and the disastrous consequences that we could be facing under those circumstances and the civil unrest, why, what's the administration is anticipating, and instead of, if you haven't seen our 4-tape set on concentration camps or gotten our concentration camp special, which is both videos and, of course, a 4-tape set. They are available through Radio Liberty, and we even have a new 4-tape set we put out entitled The Impending Police State. That's The Impending Police State. Or give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope that many of you, if you've not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, will want to get either that or the DVD or both of them together. And you can get the DVD, book, and a audio tape as the Brotherhood of Darkness special. And then, of course, we have a new talk. It's called The Forbidden Secret. And it tells you the secret that has been passed down for 5,000 years by secret societies. And ladies and gentlemen, there are secret societies out there. And there's a syllabus that goes with The Forbidden Secret. And then you'll want to get the DVD on the secret mysteries. And then you'll want to get the DVD on Riddles in Stone, the secret architecture of our nation's capital. Because when the nation's capital was laid out, certainly back in 1790, they were laying the foundation for what's going on today. And then I want to mention, of course, our yearly conference. That's October 28th. It's a Sunday, October the 28th. And if you'd like to come, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 for how to get hotel and regular reservations. Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming at you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and certainly this evening our special guest for this hour is Ralph Epperson, who I've known, since a little after 1980, and Ralph is one of those people who's given his life to this battle, and certainly he's one of the world's leading experts on Masonry and the world occult movement. But this evening we're going to be continuing a talk that we had, about a week ago, and that was on an interview that Ralph had done with a Dr. Dunnigan. And Dr. Dunnigan had lived in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He was a pediatrician there. And he, back in 1969, had heard a talk that was given by Dr. Richard Dame, who was had been the medical director of Planned Parenthood for about 3 years. And Dr. Dunnigan had known Dr. Day, had been one of his instructors when he was not only in medical school, but when Dr. Day was taking his training as a pediatrician, Dr. Day was one of the professors of the medical school. And Dr. Day had come to address a group of pediatricians one morning, and he, of course, had asked everybody to turn off their tape recorders and not to take any notes, and he was going to tell them what the future held. And, of course, he gave the talk. Dr. Dunnigan realized how important it was, went out to his car and wrote down everything he could remember and kept and refined those notes. And it really wasn't until the 1990s. Now, the talk was in 69. It was somewhere in the 1990s. He revealed to several people. One of them was to Randy Engel. And Randy Engel, of course, put me in touch with Dr. Dunnigan. And then, of course, he talked to Ralph Epperson, and I only recently found out that Ralph had heard this story as well. It is one of the most important stories you will ever hear. In fact, we have it both in audio tape and in CD form, and we even have a transcript of this talk. We call it the New Order of the Barbarians, but I wanted to complete our conversation with Ralph Epperson and get the rest of the story as he remembers getting it personally directly from Dr. Dunnigan. Ralph, good to have you with us again.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Stan. You covered it very well. I don't understand what internment, is that the word? What's the word? Intern. When you go to another hospital after you've graduated, that's where I think, that's where I believe he met Dr. Day. I don't know if he might have met him in course, but I think it was as he was interning.
All right, fine. Well, then he went to a residency. You take your internship, and then you take your specialty training, and you're a resident for 2 or 3 years,
okay,
Depending upon what that specialty would be. Actually, for orthopedics, it was 4 years, and some people it took even longer. It took me 5 years to get through. I wanted to spend that extra year in training, so because I just wanted to feel totally comfortable in what I was doing.
Yes.
But anyway, Chris and Dr. Day had met Dr. Dunnigan had met Dr. Day. Be that as it may be, you tell the story. We told part of the story before, and I want you to pick up and tell the rest of the story tonight.
Thank you very much. Dr. Stan, would you have taken the national directorship of the medical directorship of the Planned Parenthood if it was offered?
No, I certainly wouldn't.
Well, Dr. Day did, and apparently he learned about what he called an organized force. And you're right, he told the people there from apparently the Pittsburgh Pediatric Society that if he saw them recording what he was saying or writing down notes, he would stop and walk off the stage, and that if they...
Hold that thought, we'll be right back. Okay, pick up the story there, Ralph.
I was saying that if Dr. Day told the audience that if he saw anyone recording what he was saying and or writing down the notes, he would leave, walk off the stage and not finish, And if he heard anyone repeat what he said, he would deny it. And then he said that he would repudiate the statement by, you know, by the person making the statement. And then he said that you wouldn't believe, no one would believe you anyway. And that, I think, was probably true. Because back in 1969, many of these things that Dr. Day is about to relate to the audience were not possible. It had not, certainly not been in the United States yet. But now we can see that Dr. Day had been taught the future. He's not a prophet. He's not making predictions. He's just saying these are what these people are planning for America. And we got about halfway through, and I'll continue with it. Pick up some. These things are not in any order, but they are in, just as Dr. Dannegan reported him to me. He made me a little audio cassette, and he sent it off, and I listened to it, and as I did, I made typed out all the notes. And I put this out in a tape back in about 1990, I think it was, 91 maybe, called The New World Order. It's a 14-hour lecture series of incidents, information on what this thing is that George Bush talked about in 1990. Okay, Dr. Day said, soon new diseases will appear for which there will be no cure. And the first thing that occurs is that the AIDS virus, we learned from other medical doctors that the AIDS virus was created in the United States at Fort Detrick, I don't know how to pronounce it, in Maryland, I think it is, by them and the World Health Organization. And so AIDS is a man-made disease, and he said there will be no cure for it. There are cures for AIDS, and there are people who are able to cure it, but no one wants to listen, which means that they're being used to reduce population, and that's exactly what's happened. And Dr. Day, in another statement that Dr. Dannegan wrote down, said that they were out to reduce the population. Vaccinations are also can be used to reduce population and present new cures, new diseases. There's a talk, you know more about the site perhaps than I do. Apparently they use mercury in vaccinations. Do you understand that?
Yes, they use something called thimerosal. We used to call it methylated mercurochrome, and it supposedly kills bacteria, but it really doesn't work very well in vaccines. Its major function in vaccines is for the damage it does to the mind, and they know very well, of course, that this is the primary cause of autism and the terrible destruction. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Ralph Epperson, and he's simply going through what he was told back about 1989 and 1990 by Dr. Dannegan, who was the pediatrician, who had told him about the talk that had been given in 1969 by Dr. Richard Day. And, of course, I'd learned about it from Randy Engel, and then I tracked down Dr. Dannegan in the early 1990s, 93, 94, somewhere in there, and I recorded a program with him. And then, of course, we had made arrangements with Randy Engel to utilize the three tapes she had with Dr. Dannegan, and that's how we came up with a four-tape set we call the New Order of the Barbarians. But here again, we're hearing this verified by Ralph, who had also known Dr. Dannegan and had put this material together either the late 1980s or early 1990s. And, of course, one of the things Ralph was saying is that Dr. Richard Day, who had been the medical director of Planned Parenthood, had told Dr. Dannegan that, and the other doctors there, that they were going to create new diseases, and one of them was would be a disease, a new disease for which there would be no immune response, no treatment. Well, certainly this was all part of a population control agenda, because I know when I first heard that, I didn't believe it. I mean, why would anybody want to create a terrible disease like that? Well, if you want to kill a lot of people, that's what you do. And then, of course, if you really don't believe that this is true, I would simply point out that there is not one form of AIDS. There's eight different forms that all appeared spontaneously together. Now, maybe two might have occurred spontaneously out of no place, but how could eight have appeared? And there's types of HIV-1 and HIV-2. Under HIV-1, there's M and O. Under M, there's type A, type B, type C, type D, Dr. E, and I think maybe even an F, but they're all in different parts of the world. And of course, they've not varied since we began tracking them and analyzing them. How could you get 8 different strains of the disease all at one time? And then, of course, we get and learn about the special virus cancer project that was created by the CIA to create new diseases. And then, of course, the wonderful books, Emerging Viruses by Len Horowitz, which we carry, and Project Daylily by Dr. Garth Nicholson, which we carry, both go into the background of how this disease was created in a lot more detail than we want to go into tonight. But, of course, I think Ralph is absolutely right, because he said when Dr. Dunnigan had heard about this, when this new disease came down the line, then, of course, he had heard the talk in 69. It wasn't until 1981, that was, 12 years later, that the first cases of AIDS appeared, and the first thing in his mind was, this is one of those diseases they were talking about, creating new diseases for mass killing. So pick up the story there, Ralph.
Dr. Stanley, if I may, I'll go back to, I think you just said that mercurochrome is based on mercury?
That's right. Mercurochrome was a mercury. In fact, when I first went into medical practice, that was what we used to put around a wound. Somebody came in with a wound. We cleaned it up. We painted the skin of the area with methylated mercurochrome, and that was supposed to kill all the bacteria. And it was very good as far as killing bacteria, but it was absorbed through the skin and produced terrible complications and mercury intoxication. So they banned, suddenly one day you couldn't buy it anyplace. The government banned the sale of mercury and methylate, but they allowed it to be left in the vaccines they were injecting into our children. So it's too toxic to put on the skin, but it's all right to leave in the vaccines. And these children were taking multiple vaccines, each one with mercury. They were taking 3 or 4 or 5 vaccines at one time, each one with a dose of mercury. And they were getting mercury intoxication that attacked their minds and produced the autism. And they actually have, of course, there's a CDC data bank. And our friends Mark and David Geyer got into that. And they found, of course, the CDC didn't want them to find it, but there had been studies done by some of the HMOs like Kaiser, and they found that if the children got the vaccines with the mercury and compared those that got the vaccines without the mercury, a 27 times increase in autism, 27 times increase in autism among the children who got the mercury-containing vaccine.
Help me, Doctor. What's autism?
Autism, of course, is the child who is born and he's usually doing quite well. Initially he's going through all the regular advances and he gets to walk and talk. And then suddenly he goes into the doctor's office, gets 6 vaccines, and about 2 days later he suddenly is yelling and screaming and having terrible headaches, and he begins to withdraw and he begins to lose his ability to talk. And he develops all terrible mannerisms, and he may just sit in his crib and pound his head against the bars, and of course he may yell and scream and have violent fits of rage, and his mind simply deteriorates. And of course, I have no question that the mercury plays a large part in that, and it may only be certain children who cannot handle mercury well, but how you want to explain that, why there used to be perhaps 2 or 3 cases of autism in every 10,000 children. Today it's about 1 in every 150 children.
Oh, my goodness.
And, of course, if you get into the autism spectrum diseases, 1 in 6 American children has some sort of a neurodevelopmental abnormality, and most of those are directly related to the toxicity of mercury on their minds. In fact, according to those people who have analyzed it, probably every child has had some damage done because of the mercury in the vaccine.
Well, but Dr. Stanley, apparently, I don't have children, but I believe that you are required to have vaccination before you can get your child into school.
Right, and that's why, of course, so many children have had real problems. And of course, right now, of course, you can actually get out of it, you know how, and if anybody's out there with children and they want to know how they can avoid having to get their child vaccinated before they go to school, why, we'll tell them how. But they try to bamboozle you and force you and embarrass you into it. And if you hate your child, you go ahead and get the vaccinations.
What do you think about the vaccination without the mercury? Is that also?
I think there's still problems with most of the vaccinations, and we've got several newsletters on that. Most of the childhood diseases, the mortality from childhood diseases, had disappeared before the vaccines ever started to be used, and they went from, say, 100,000 deaths a year from diphtheria down to perhaps 20 or 30. By the time they started the vaccines for diphtheria in the 1930s and 1940s, this really was not necessary in the United States. In third world countries, it's much more of a problem, but not in the United States. And that's true for the tetanus and for the pertussis, for the whooping cough, and for the polio. And most of these diseases were dramatically declining. And anybody who questions that, go to my webpage, radioliberty.com, and certainly look for the newsletters on vaccines. And we got this, of course, from the government's own statistics, but they don't want the public to know that. They don't want the public to realize, of course, that in addition to the mercury, of which they are still in the childhood vaccines, or at least in vaccines they give to children, and they're simply lying, it's in the influenza vaccine that they insist the child have at 6 months of age, and I think 15 months of age, and then yearly, or give to pregnant women. And of course, it's aluminum in the vaccines, and there's formaldehyde in the vaccines, and there's all sorts of other dead viruses, and certainly these are attenuated viruses, and they can produce problems. But we don't want to talk about that. I want to get your story about Dr. Dunnigan. Go right ahead.
That is so important right now, because children are being taken to the doctor's office to get vaccinations because the school requires it.
I know, and it's criminal in my estimation. And all we can do is try to get the parents educated and understand that there really are people who want to hurt our children. Now, that is not the average doctor. That's not the average school nurse. But there really are people who want to hurt our children. When you understand that, of course, so much of what's going on really does make sense.
Well, I wrote down fluoridation as one of these new diseases that we've got. Sodium fluoride is a rat poison, and our city of Tucson about 600,000 people wanted to fluoridate our water, and little Ralphie went down to the city council about 5 weeks in a row and showed them, during what they call a call to the audience, how foolish that was, and no one else spoke out about it, and they tabled it, so I stopped it. And I'll tell you, it was a great relief, because all of us, I didn't want to drink fluoridated water. Rat poison, for Pete's sake.
I'm glad they got it. Well, Chris, so we can spend hours talking on water fluoridation, but this is another thing that they're using for population control and for lowering the intelligence and for increasing the incidence of cancer. I mean, certainly at the beginning of the last century, 1 in 33 people got cancer. Today, 1 in 2 people get cancer. And the public health authorities have no idea why that's happening, although fluoride increases the incidence of cancer. Certainly milk and the hormones in milk increase the incidence of breast cancer eightfold, and certainly prostatic cancer fourfold, but they never tell the American people. And aspartame increases the incidence of cancer, and even mercury increases the incidence of cancer, and they know all of these things, but they tell the public we have no idea why it's happening. But let's get back to Dr.
Dunn. One last question, if I may, Dr. Stan. When I was a boy, I remember mercurochrome. It was red, and that's what you had.
Right,
it was in a jar.
Right.
Your mother or somebody spread it on your cut or your bruise.
You can't buy it now because it's too toxic to put on the skin, although it's all right to inject into your children.
I'll be darned. Okay, Dr. Day, again, the purpose, just confirms what we were just saying. Dr. Day in 1969 said the purpose of new diseases will be to reduce the population. Bingo.
Yeah. And that's exactly what it's all about, and the average American can't believe anything could be that crass or cruel. We'll go right ahead, Ralph.
Okay. Next thing on the list was religion, especially Christianity, will be destroyed. Now, I want to, if I may, I want to plug my book, Dr. Stan. I've written a book called Masonry, Conspiracy Against Christianity. As far as I know, I'm the first one to ever document the fact that Masons at the 30th degree, that's on their way to the 32nd degree, the Mason takes a vow with a sword in his hand to destroy Christianity. So this is, of course, this was certainly way before Dr. Day, but Dr. Day discovered this, and he knows that that's the goal of the Masonic Lodge. If you're a Mason and you have heard that and don't agree with that, I would urge you to read my book, Masonry Conspiracy Against Christianity, and when you do, you'll read your own literature that proves what I just said is true. So that's the goal of this of the Masons, and also the goal of this 6,000-year-old conspiracy. Dr. Day said education will slowly reduce the amount of information transmitted. Children will not learn as much. Now, if that's true, why are we why are we burdening our children with homework every night? I don't remember. I went to schools in the 40s and 50s, so I'm quite, quite a number of years ago, but I don't remember any homework until I got to college. But now I don't think that's the case anymore. And I'll give you one clue as to why that your children are coming home with homework every night is because it reduces the amount of time the parents can spend with their children. Unless mom and dad get involved in helping them, with their homework. And if they don't, that's just less time that mom and dad can spend with their children. I was told that our young people today don't know where Pakistan is or Burma or whatever, and so they're not being taught geography. And there was some educator who proposed a solution. He wanted to put maps on the walls in restrooms so that while you're busy doing your business there, you can look in the map and find out where Pakistan and Burma are. That's the latest technology for learning geography. Latest recommendation. Dr. Day, 1969. The school year will be prolonged, including the teaching of students during the summer. Dr. Stan, we have a school district south of us called the Vail School District, and just a matter of a couple of weeks ago, there was a big article in our local newspaper. The school, Vail School District, has gone to a year-round school. That means that during the summer, those children will be going to school. Now, normally, parents get their children at home, and they're able to work with them and enjoy them and go on vacation with them when the parents get the time off. And also, the children are encouraged, some of them are, to go out and get a part-time job and learn how to make change and how to treat customers and how business works. They're not going to be able to do that anymore. Isn't that interesting? Now, I don't know how extensive that is across the country, but it just might very well be that Vail is not the leader in this. There's other school districts doing it as well. I don't know. Dr. Day said, 1969, the government will be getting into gambling. Well, here in Tucson, we have four casinos around us in the city in Arizona where there's four casinos run by the Indians. We have Indian tribes around us. And so government is now in the gambling business. 1969, Dr. Day said, drug use will increase with the purpose of increasing law enforcement. Oh, my goodness, that's...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Ralph talking about already what's going on in... where he lives, he was pointing out simply that one of the things that Dr. Day had talked about was that government was going to get into the business of gambling. And, of course, all across the country we see state lotteries. And how often do we hear about, I heard one the other night, somebody was going to win $351 million in one of these gigantic pools involving several states. So government is going to get involved in gambling, and this was what Dr. Day was talking about. And then, of course, point by point of what's going on, why, of course, this was all laid out and planned ahead of time. What was the point after government in getting involved in gambling?
Well, he didn't say, Dr. Delegate didn't say, but it's very clear to me, it's just to take further money away from people and use it for non-governmental uses.
All right.
I have been, we've had, I bet it's probably been 20 years here in Tucson where we've got lotteries in the state of Arizona, and I have never seen an accounting as to where that money goes. I wonder where it goes.
Well, I think, of course, in our state, why, of course, it supposedly goes to education, but so some of it can go out in prizes. I suspect a lot of it gets funneled off into politics and the hands of the mafia. But certainly, the thing is that this gives people something to hope for, something that takes their mind off of what's going on. I think that's a large part of gambling. It always gives us hope. It's sort of like if you go back and read 1984 and George Orwell was talking in this situation of total hopelessness in the world of Big Brother. You might always hope that you'd win the lottery and that would relieve your suffering. So go ahead. What was the next point that Dr. David?
Well, the next one was drug use. I want to respond. Drug use will increase. I put out a video. It's 3 hours long. To explain how our government planned the Vietnamese War in 1943, and the major purpose was to create a drug culture. And you say that's absolutely impossible. I would urge you to watch that video, and then you show me where I'm wrong. That's exactly what it was for. And the purpose was to increase drug use. And the reason was to transfer dollars to Red China so Red China could buy American technology. And so the American businessman wants dollars. If he's going to sell to Red China, the government buys over there. The private industry doesn't buy. The government buys it, and the only commodity that Red China has to trade with us to get dollars to buy technology was drugs. So they had to create a drug culture, and that problem is still existing around today in the United States.
But of course, the thing is, of course, Ralph, what most people don't understand is that it wasn't the Chinese that brought the Chinese opium in the United States. It was our own CIA. And many of our young men, after being killed in Vietnam, where they were simply gutted, and the opium was packed into their entrails, in their abdominal cavity, they were sewn up and then brought back to America, where they could bring through the customs that way, and then they could get the opium out. And of course, I've talked to people who were working on these programs. Actually, there's a wonderful book. It's called Kiss the Boys Goodbye by Monica Jensen Stevenson, that told that story about Vietnam and the CIA involvement in drugs. And of course, pressure was put on the publisher to withdraw the book, which they did. Monica got the rights to the book back, moved to Canada, got it printed up there. Somebody immediately bought up the publisher and just accidentally shredded 5,000 copies of Kiss the Boys Goodbye. We still have the book. It's available through Radio Liberty if you haven't read it, either in soft copy or in hard copy. They're all used, but the book has been suppressed many times. There's a four-tape set that goes with it. Kiss the Boys Goodbye, and I think Ralph is absolutely right. Vietnam was a large part about drugs, but they couldn't let the American people know that the CIA is the largest drug dealer in the world any more than today we can get anybody to ask, gee, if we control Afghanistan, why is it the biggest heroin crop of all time is this year when the American government controls Afghanistan? Why can't we control the opium growth in a country where our troops are there, where our planes dominate the sky? And, well, the reason you can't, of course, is because they need that opium so that the Taliban can refine it into opium so they'll have money to continue the war. After all, if we destroyed the drug crop, why, of course, then the Taliban couldn't create the drugs, couldn't create the opium, wouldn't have the money to continue buying the weapons to kill our boys. But just that simple. You see, that's crass, and nothing could be like that. And simply ask yourself, I mean, how do the drugs, of course, get produced in Afghanistan when we control the country? Why can't we destroy the crops? And the reason is, we could do it tomorrow. We've never wanted to do that. The CIA is the largest producer and conveyor of drugs in the world today. Well, go right ahead with the story there, Ralph.
Yeah, I want to finish with what you just said, Dr. Stan. I discovered that and put out my video. In that video, I show pictures, two pictures that I took personally myself here of two Air America airplanes in Tucson. They were being apparently refitted, or perhaps they wanted to take the seats out of these two planes. I don't know what they were doing, but there they are, and they're very clearly marked on the side, Air America. And so this was the lie, airlines that the CIA used to bring this heroin and opium into the United States. And they were doing it for probably 20-some years. And maybe they're still doing it. I don't know. Okay, Dr. Day said, 1969, music will become worse with the specific purpose of changing the thoughts of the listener. Now, I know I don't listen to music, but I have heard enough to know from people who do that gangster rap and rap music and rock and roll, all this stuff. Gangster rap now teaches you to kill, murder, beat people up. Women are whores and everything else. And that's how bad music has gotten. The days of June, Spoon, Croon, Moon, you think those days are over. And it's called reality, reality music, but it's not. In fact, back in about 1970 or so, I heard a PhD lecturing around the country who predicted that music would be destroyed. And I said, how do you do that? And he had no real answers, but he said it will be. But notice what's happened, Dr. Stan. Instead of having a 500-piece orchestra play, you get some guy with a record player, and he rotates the disc on it to make a boom, boom, boom kind of sound. And then the rapper doesn't sing. He repeats the words in a regular monotone, with maybe a little bit of singing once in a while, but they do rhyme. There's only one thing, and to a beat, that's it. There's no more music, no more rock and, you know, orchestra, no more bands. It's done with the guy with the record player. And the only thing that's left, Dr. Stan, is a beat and words that don't rhyme. That's the only thing that's left. And secondly, if you can understand those words, gangster rap, you're better than I am. I have trouble with it. I can't understand it. Okay, I have number 49. It's my number. Dr. Day said that weather will become controllable to cause droughts and floods to reduce the food supply. Oh, that can't be possible, Ralph. I'll tell you this, Dr. Stan. I've got a picture in my files of the world's largest electromagnetic device sold to Russia in 1977. I've got a picture of it being either loaded or unloaded. The articles claimed it was being unloaded in some place in Moscow.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ralph was simply pointing out several of the things that have been. Dr. Day had talked about how drugs were going to be popularized, how music was going to be altered, certainly in this country, how weather was going to be modified. They were going to have the ability to modify weather. So pick this story up there.
Well, you know, two quick things. Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote in his book Between Two Ages that the weather would be controllable to cause your enemy drought so you could defeat him without loss of life, meaning you wouldn't have to kill him. You would just starve to death. But I'll tell you this, one more story. In 1988, I think it was People magazine, had a story on where were you when John Kennedy was killed in 1963. And Father Theodore Hesburgh, the president of Notre Dame University, said he was at the University, I think, of Pennsylvania, on a symposium on weather modification. 1963, they were talking about weather modification to cause droughts and hurricanes, etc. Dr. Day said taxes would become progressive, meaning that the middle incomes will be taxed to a higher degree so that few could assemble wealth. And we know this today. The middle income survivor is being squeezed out. And that's why there's all these foreclosures and people on television and on the Internet telling you you can make money by buying these houses that are being foreclosed. Well, the reason they're being foreclosed is because many of these people making a lot of money who bought a house lost their job because of the government and the conspiracy that runs this government. So they lost their job, the outsourcing, and they're now being done in Japan or China or Indonesia or something. And so they can't make their payments anymore. So there's people on TV telling you can make a lot of money doing that. Income taxes are progressive, and in my book, The Unseen Hand, I pointed out to you why Karl Marx, the so-called father of communism, said two things that he could use to destroy an industrialized society. One was a central bank, and one was a heavy progressive income tax. And the two of them work together. The central bank creates inflation, and when you go get a pay raise to match inflation, which kills you at the same, your income tax under the progressive income tax goes up as a percentage. So you're actually further away. You've lost money by getting a cost of living increase. And that's the way Marx knew that it would work, and it's working in America even today. Dr. Day said credit will be extremely available so that many will go into heavy debt. Now, we just had the church I go to here in Tucson, a Christian church, our pastor preached on getting out of debt, and they're putting on a class or something over the weekend, I think next weekend, on about how to get out of debt and then use that word to further your family and your work as a Christian. And one of the couples that had gotten out before, maybe in the year before when they taught this, testified that they were $50,000 in debt only on credit card debt, not even mortgages, credit card debt, and they got out. It took them 6 or 8 years, but they got out of debt, and they don't owe anybody. I think they still have their mortgage, but they don't owe anyone anything anymore. Secondly, the University of Arizona is now charging, I don't know, $12,000 or $13,000, $15,000 a year to go to school if you're out from out of state. How much? Who's got the kind of money to do that? So what do? They get the student or the family to borrow money on apparently on the future earnings of the student after he gets through. And there's reports that I've got in my files where a lot of these students are not paying it back. Well, that's fine, because you and I got a lot of money, don't we, Dr. Stan?
I'll tell you what, here in California, a gentleman was stopped by the other day to do some work for us. His daughter is going to Stanford. He is working two jobs. His wife is working two jobs. It's costing them $40,000 a year to have their daughter go to Stanford.
Yeah. How can you afford that?
You really can't unless you're working two jobs, and he's very, very talented. He's an excellent repairman and in a very specialized field, and I'm sure he's making good money, but I mean, they're giving everything they can to get their daughter through Stanford, and I applaud that effort on their part.
That's a worthy cause, but it's just, it's incredible. There's a TV commercial with a fellow riding on a lawnmower, and he's riding on it. He rides by, he says, "Look at me, I've got a beautiful house and four lovely daughters and a lovely wife, and I got a pool and a barbecue, and I'm $50,000 in debt. Help me." And this is the kind of thing. What has happened to us in this society? I was taught as a boy, don't spend money you don't have.
Yeah, but you see, they've done exactly what Dr. Day advocated. Encourage people to get into debt. And, of course, when this whole situation collapses, these people are going to be impoverished and end up, as Warren Buffett said, most Americans are going to end up being sharecroppers in their own land.
Yes.
And that's exactly what's happening. It's a massive transfer of wealth, from the middle class to the very, very rich. And we're going to end up with a two-tiered society like they have in Mexico, like they have in Russia. A very, very small group of very wealthy people, whether they belong to the Communist Party doesn't matter, but a small group of very wealthy people, and then a massive police force, a massive military, and then, of course, everybody else living in abject poverty. That's the way it is in Mexico, and that's the way it will soon be in America as we merge with Mexico and as these programs continue.
Well, Dr. Day seems to be a modern-day prophet, isn't he? But wasn't he? But he wasn't being a prophet. He was reporting on learning that this group, this what he called an organized force, was going to cause these things to happen. Dr. Day said, 1969, private ownership of housing would cease. High costs of housing would prevent new purchasers from buying homes. A couple of years ago, Dr. Stan, you might remember, you live in California, there was quite an influx of people coming to Arizona who were leaving California because of earthquakes and floods and fires and everything else. and they were selling their houses in California, and then they were able to come to Tucson and buy the same house for half the cost. And what was the reason why they had to pay so much? Because of high taxes. Taxes, that state has gone crazy with taxes, and the contractor's got to pay it, and he puts it into the price of the home. And so it leapfrogs itself, and I don't know how people can own homes today. I was dating a girl back in the middle 80s, and she lived in Oklahoma City, and her mortgage payment was over $1,000 a month. And I'm sure people pay a lot more today, and she had a nice home, but it was nothing, you know, to write home about. But that's a lot. She had a second mortgage on it, and that was just exorbitant. Mine was like $300 a month. That included taxes and interest and everything else. And hers was $800, I think over $1,000. So houses are... And then the government decided to get into the energy business. So here in Arizona, we used to build with brick or with what they call slump stone, which is like a hollow concrete block. It's very attractive. It's brick, and you don't have to paint it. You don't have to scrub it. It lives. It's beautiful. And it gives you a little bit cheaper savings on your insurance premiums because it's what they call a Class C dwelling instead of a Class D, which is wood frame. So suddenly they said, okay, you can't build with slump stone or brick anymore. So all of a sudden we got wood frame houses in Arizona, plus insulation, and the cost is down skyrocketing. Dr. Day said census information would provide personal information. The number of bedrooms, kitchens, bathrooms, etc., will become part of the census information collected. And boy, when I heard that back in the... I was going to make a comment. It struck me. I didn't know what they were talking about, but I did know. In 1970, it was the first time I used the Constitution to answer the census question. The Constitution does indeed require a census, and the purpose of the census is to divide the House of Representatives apportionately, meaning you shouldn't have large districts and small districts side by side. Everyone should have an equal vote in a relatively similar district. And that makes sense. So that's the purpose of it. And they need to know where you live and how many people are there. So that's all I answer. And the people say, in the 1980 census, I answered the question. I did a talk show shortly thereafter, and during right after the 1980 census, and I reminded the people of the movie Dr. Zhivago. Maybe you remember that, Dr. Stan. In the movie, as I remember, Dr. Zhivago was, a wealthy doctor, and because of the Communist Revolution, he fled. And when he came back years later and tried to get back into his house, he had a beautiful mansion, two-story home, good-sized. And he walked in, and there was a bunch of people in there. And she said, get out, this is my house. And there's a lady, a communist, said, no, Dr. Zhivago, this is not your house anymore. It was determined that your house was big enough for four families, and that's who all these people were. And at that moment, as I remember, there was a horse being ridden down the staircase right in front of Dr. Zhivago. So in other words, the Communist Party decides who's going to live in your house besides you, especially if you've got more than one bedroom and more than one bathroom and maybe a bigger kitchen or a carport with two cars, or a garage, two-car garage. So in other words, why do they want this information? Maybe because when there's a natural catastrophe or even a man-made catastrophe, the government will say, listen, L.A. got hit by a massive earthquake, and we don't have houses for these people. They're going to be a rap on your door, and they say, like in Dr. Zhivago, you supply this information, and you've got a four-bedroom house, and you're only, you and your wife only using two bedrooms, and you've got two bathrooms. Here's your new neighbor. And they're going to move them in. Well, they didn't do that in Katrina, but apparently that's coming, because that's what he was saying. That day could very well happen, that we would use the census information to increase the number of people living in your house, like Dr. Zhivago. Dr. Day said 1969, identification will become required with something being implanted in the hand or forehead of every American. Oh, that could never happen in America. Jerry Cook is a friend of mine. He got into the microchip information. He went on a nationwide speaking tour with it and spoke to churches all over the country and others and did, I'm sure, hundreds of talk shows in which he described and showed the evidence that they now have the technology to do this. There's no way that the Bible could, I'm sorry, if God wrote the Bible, of course he would have known, but there was no technology to do this back around the time of the Bible. Only with current technology can we get the identification implanted in the hand or forehead. So this is something directly, speaking directly to us, and in the Bible it's called the mark of the beast. But now they've got the technology. And Dr. Day said food consumption will be reduced so that its distribution will have to be controlled and no fugitive from justice will be able to get food. Now this hasn't happened yet, but there was a man by the name of Cesar Chavez who tried to get control of the pickers in California and other states, I'm sure, as well. And his purpose was to unionize them, and then when it was time for to do the picking, he'd go on strike. So the food would rot or waste away, and people wouldn't pick it or cut it or whatever, and then they could use that as a way to impose a dictatorial government to decide who's going to get the food and who's not going to. So a very courageous man who worked with Cesar Chavez went on a nationwide speaking tour, especially in California, and told the plans, and sure enough, it worked. Cesar Chavez suddenly stopped doing what he was doing. So apparently it worked. Let's see. Let me get some more. Here. The Bible will be rewritten with keywords changed or altered. And I think you can find this in churches today. There are Christian churches who don't believe in the divinity of Jesus or don't believe he was a virgin or that he died or that he was resurrected. They don't believe that he even existed. In fact, Dan Brown's book on the Da Vinci Code says that Jesus never existed and that he was, I'm sorry, he did exist, but that he was married to Mary Magdalene and produced children and that he died and all this stuff. And completely in contrary to what the Bible says. So we're now getting new people claiming that the Bible is not correct and that it has to be rewritten. So it's happening. There are many new translations being offered today as well. Dr. Day said, going to a hospital will become a privilege, not a right. Later, only those with medical insurance will be allowed into a hospital. One of the reasons why they're allowing the illegal aliens to come into our society is because they're getting free medical attention in many of the hospitals around the country. And when they do, that means that there's a waiting list for the people going to an emergency room or whatever, and there's others way ahead of you by the hundreds in there, and you've got to wait even though you've got insurance or whatever. And then they also are providing this free insurance, free medical attention, which means that you and I have got to make it up in increased taxes. So it might be that what he's saying is true, that they're going to have to start rationing medical attention, just like they do in the socialized countries with medical protection for the poor, or for the people, like in Canada or England. I'm told that all the Democratic candidates running for the president all want to have socialized medicine. And if we get the joys of having it like England and Canada, it'll be a paradise because we can all wait 6 or 8 months for medical attention, and if we die before it happens, we're sorry, it's the best we can do. I wonder whether or not any of these people promoting socialized medicine for America will feel any guilt when people die because they can't get medical attention. What do you think, Dr. Stan?
Well, I don't really think so, but I will tell you that they will get medical attention right away. In fact, I'll never forget years ago, I was on a tour, and I was in Edinburgh, Scotland, where the professor of orthopedics there told me about they had two medical lists for, you know, one was, of course, for emergency surgery, got in right away. The other was for elective orthopedic surgery. He said, we never get to those unless you are a commissar. And if you are a commissar, well, we have to put you in immediately, meaning, of course, if you work for the government. Yes. That's the way it really is. That's the way socialized medicine really works. And you talk to the doctors living in the Russian satellite countries or Russia during the time of when communism was in full force. The only way you get medical treatment was to bribe the doctor and bribe the nurse and bribe the admission officials when you wanted to get into the hospital. That's the reality of socialized medicine. And you think medicine's expensive now? You just wait until it's free. Go ahead, Ralph.
Dr. Stan,
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I have heard, Dr. Stan, that if they do get socialized medicine for all of us, the Congress will not be in that program.
No. The officials will always have their own private health insurance.
Okay.
I mean, how many congressmen do you think go to HMOs now, health maintenance organizations? That's just for the common folks. You know, they have a two-tiered medical system, one for the elite, one for the poor. And, of course, most of us are going to be impoverished. Our guest this evening has been Ralph Everson. Ralph, I want you to get your telephone number out.
800-422-3888.
1-800-422-3888. 800-422-3888. Well, Ralph, certainly we got off on all sorts of sidetracks this evening. Is there quite a bit more to the story that needs to be told?
No, that's enough, I think, Dr. Stan. Dr. Day learned, and he was telling the truth, because many of these things have already happened, and if they haven't happened, there's plans to cause them to happen.
But weren't there quite a few more things that you have on your list there?
Not really. There are some more, but nothing I don't think that's crucial, Dr. Stan. We covered most of the major things. But if you want to spend some more time, and you know, we could go over it, but I think we've covered it pretty well.
All right, fine. Well, I really appreciate it, and I think this is such an important issue. Now, of course, if people get in touch with you, they can go to your website at www.ralpheverson.com. That's ralph-everson.com. Is that right?
That's correct, Dr. Stan.
All right.
Everson with two P's.
E-P-P-E-R-S-O-N. Again, the telephone number is 800-422-3888, and Ralph has all sorts of great information, and I recommend his information to you. Ralph has certainly been going over this for a long period of time. We do carry all three of Ralph's books, The New World Order, The Hidden Hand in Masonry, The Conspiracy Against Christianity. Is that the right name?
Yes, Masonry Conspiracy. Yeah. The other book is called The Unseen Hand, Dr. Stan, but that's close enough.
All right,
Unseen
fine. Well, so the Unseen Hand, The New World Order, and Masonry Conspiracy Against America. And Sidney Ralph is a tremendous source of information. And you've got all sorts of DVDs and video sets, don't you?
That's correct. They can all be seen on my website.
Are they all? Do you have any of the videos actually up there to watch?
Yes, people can go to watch a DVD that I put out, but Dr. Stan, it's very controversial. I don't know whether you want to talk about that. So,
which one is that now? Is that the one on the nuclear warhead, nuclear weapons?
Yes. Dr. Stan, I don't know if you agree with me, but I'm telling you, I would. I put together a 3-hour video DVD that's available for free. You can watch it yourself on Google Video. And you want me to just talk about it? Can I just mention it?
No, you go ahead and mention it. We'll go ahead and do a program on it.
Well, Dr. Stan, I am convinced with documentation that there are no nuclear weapons anywhere except in the United States. Oh, that's impossible, Ralph. We know North Korea and China, and I'm telling you, there are none. N-O-N-E, none. And I can prove that. It's a matter of documentation. I quote 5 American presidents to show you they've been telling us this. All we got to do is read it and put it all together. And that's what I did.
Or one of these nights, we'll do a program. And Ralph, we're out of time. God bless.
God
bless. Good night. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you've enjoyed our program with Ralph. And certainly, if you'd like to get the full story, as we got it from Dr. Tennigan personally, and of course, if you want to get the two tapes with Ralph, why they are available from Radio Liberty, well, we have a 4-tape and 4-CD set entitled The New Order of the Barbarians, which we certainly recommend. Certainly, if you want to get into the drug issue, we carry the book Kiss the Boys Goodbye by Monica Jensen Stevenson. And, of course, the book was banned. We have secondhand copies of both hardbound and softbound. And then, of course, we have the 4-tape set that goes with that, the Men We Left Behind. For books on the CIA and drugs, the book Defrauding America, another book, Drugging America, a great four tapes. Is there really a war on drugs? Of course, there's really no war on drugs. Every time we have a war on drugs, well, we get more of it. Every time we have a war on terrorism, we get more of it. We have a war on cancer, more cancer. You know, we have a war on poverty, more poverty. Ladies and gentlemen, stop and think about what's happening. How could this be? And then, of course, we certainly have the book Weather Warfare. We have the book Harp, and we have a four-tape set on Harp. About masonry, we have Masonry Beyond the Light, a great four-tape set. We have the books by Sidney by John Daniels, part 2 and 3, part 3 of Scarlet and the Beast. We have Masonry Beyond the Light. We have the book Behind the Lodge Door, Behind the Lodge Door, an Unholy Alliance. And certainly my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, goes into great detail on what the secret of masonry is really all about. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness. And we carry another book entitled The Masonic Symbols on the Dollar Bill. We have a book on Masonic and occult symbols. So much information. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And let me remind you about our seminar. It's an all-day seminar on the 28th of October. It's a Sunday. It's going to be held at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. We have it there every year. Great time. We usually have a great audience, and we've got a great lineup of speakers, including Dr. Garth Nicholson and Ron Brown will be there, and Michael Shaw. And you'll really learn a tremendous amount. You'll have an opportunity to see all the books and videos and audio tapes that we have and that the other speakers have. And so if you'd like it to come, well, you're going to have reservations if you're out of the area. And we're going to reserve a block of rooms at the nearby hotel, very nice hotel. And, of course, you'll have to have reservations to come to the meeting. So give us a call of 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like to make reservations for the hotel or should it come to the meeting. If you're interested, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope you understand what this is really all about. We're involved in the spiritual battle. The only way you can explain what's going on, the fact that most people have no idea what's happening, the fact that our religious and conservative leaders are talking about the secret societies, is because, of course, there's a spiritual component that's blinded people. The common denominator behind all of the secret societies is a hatred of Christianity and of Judaism. And, of course, there is an organized effort to destroy Christianity. And so when you get into this, you begin to understand that this has been around, this movement's been around, going all the way back to the time of ancient Nimrod, and even before that, right back to the Garden of Eden, where, of course, the serpent promised Eve that if you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that you could be as God and you will never die. And there are many, many people who really believe that. And this is the elite who rule the world today. So, please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty.